Yeah, the future, future, yeah, the future, yeah.
Okay, left off, we were talking about the differences between rivers de Rais and rivers de Rabbanan. We were trying to give a few examples of modern shilas and modern applications for the different categories of rivers de Rabbanan. So we spoke a little bit about the principle of rivers Ketutza, Kantras Rivers Ein Ketutza, within those areas of rivers Ein Ketutza. So we spoke about rivers Mukdamas, rivers Mukheres, and rivers Devarim, all those cases which for one reason or another end up only being rivers de Rabbanan. There's another case, rivers de Rabbanan, which is also involved Derech Halva, and we'll just talk about that a little bit, and then we'll move on to Ribbis Derech Bek Chomemke. So the last category of Ribbis Derabbanan, which even though it involves loan, is what the Mishnah speaks about at the very end of the Beis Nesha, called Saw B'Saw. So Saw B'Saw, at first glance, sounds like it's not Ribbis at all. Saw B'Saw means, I lend you a saw of wheat, and you return to me a saw of wheat. Well, the biggest tzaddik in the world. I'm not asking you to pay me any extra. So what could possibly be the Shaila? The Mishnah says that even though I'm in a Torah, I say that's okay. If I'm giving you a bushel of wheat to be returned, the bushel of wheat, there's no ribbis min Torah, but there is a problem of ribbis min derabbanan. What's the problem of ribbis min derabbanan? We're afraid that the price is going to go up. And if the price goes up, so then it turns out that I lent you a bushel worth of, was only worth $100. And now when you return it, that same bushel is worth $110. So in theory, that's considered to be like giving ribbis. That's not a ribbis min haTorah, because we have no idea that whether the wheat's going to go up or not. So there's no ketzitza whatsoever involved in this type of an arrangement. But mid derabbanan, it's a problem. And even if it turns out that it doesn't go up, still like you violate in this derabbanan as a gezeira that the price may go up. That's what that din appears in the Mishnah, very end of Eidim Asher, called the Issa derabbanan, called Saw B'Saw. Since Saw B'Saw is only a ribbis mid derabbanan, so the Chacham gave a whole series of different kulas within the Hilchas Saw B'Saw. So one kula that the Mishnah records is that the only time there's an Isra of Saw B'Saw, that's only if I want to give you a bushel of wheat, and you happen not to have any wheat at the moment. So you have no wheat whatsoever, then Taka Ril Halva, I'm lending you a bushel, I'm giving you back a bushel. Let's say you have wheat, it's not accessible to you right now. The wheat is far away. The wheat is, you can't get the keys to the storehouse or something. So then the halacha says that since this whole thing is only midrabbanan anyway, so we don't view it as a halva, we view it as like a chalipin. I'm trading you one bushel of wheat, and you are trading me in return your bushel of wheat. And if the price goes up, so then it turns out that there wasn't derech halva. The price goes up, it turns out it was my wheat that I owned, it went up in price. That's bechal, not ribbis. So again, if Sabasa would have been deraisa, would have been a little bit of a game. But since Sabasol is on the Drabbanan and it looks like a chashash and maybe look like ribbis, so if the loba has a little bit of wheat, then it's okay. Then the Gemara has a further kula that Yesh loa saw, loba loa harbe saw, and that he doesn't have to have the amount that he's borrowing. So I want to borrow from you one saw, and I want to buy from you 10 saws, and I only have one saw in my storehouse somewhere. That's also good enough. But since the whole thing is on the Drabbanan, you can be loba as much as you want, as long as you have a little bit of that object that you're actually being loaded from. So that's one important kula to be aware of in terms of saw. Then there's another kula in terms of saw b'saw that most of the shadim have. Let's say there's already a shahr bashuk. There's already a set price in terms of how much wheat goes for. If the wheat fluctuates every day, it's changing prices, that's a problem. But if it's already kavua, it's already set how much the wheat is going to cost, so then we assume that that's not a problem. That's not considered to be a saw b'saw. Then there's no gezeira that is going to change prices. And the third kula that is also machlik, so we show them, we pass in halacha, that if it's a dava mu'ah, if it's a small amount, I'm not borrowing from you a tremendous bushel worth of wheat, I'm borrowing from you a couple of pieces of wheat, or I'm borrowing from you a cup of sugar, I'm borrowing from you two eggs or something. So if I'm borrowing such a small amount that it's derech shcheinim, that the neighbors very often borrow from one another, then the whole issa derabbanan doesn't apply to chol. It doesn't even look like a halva. It just looks like I'm giving you a little something, and then you're in return giving me something. It doesn't look like a real form of halva. Doesn't smack of ribbis. People don't view this as ribbis. So the issa mid derabbanan doesn't apply. So these are the three basic kulas that able to circumvent the issa derabbanan of saw b'saw. So either if if the loba has a little bit of that type of food, even though it's not as much as he's actually borrowing, that would be permissible. Or if there's a shahr kavua b'shuk, there's already a set price in the market, and it's not really fluctuating anymore. Or number three, if any of the conditions are met, if condition number three, if it's such a small amount that people generally aren't mocked so much on, So that would be okay. So we pass in Allah, all three of those kulas apply. We have shalos of samosa. Shalos of samosa come up very, very often. They happen between neighbors. I go to someone and I say, can I borrow an egg? So what does it mean to borrow an egg? So if I say to you, can I take an egg? Can you give me an egg? And show you, that's it. So like, okay, that's perfectly okay. But I say, I'll borrow an egg. I'll give you back another egg tomorrow. So that should be a problem of sahab. So, I know the egg price is so fat. No, prices fluctuate. Eggs go up and down. No, I don't buy eggs that much. If I have, let's say I say to you, can I borrow 20 eggs? They only have one or two in the fridge of my own. That would be okay based on the first kula. But if I don't have any eggs at all, that the eggs in the store doesn't help. But I don't have any eggs at all. There's no shasha b'shuk necessarily. So the only kula that you have to rely on is the third kula. That if it's something which is derech shcheinim to borrow from another. Remember, good old days in the Heights, so we used to borrow eggs from each other, but we borrow some sugar from each other, a little bit of flour from each other. So all those things are mutter. That's considered to be derech of shcheinim, and that's not considered to be a problem. The term alone sometimes is a little bit misleading. The Gemara says that there's a difference between a she'ela and a halva. In English, the reason why it's misleading because in English it all means the same thing. Like I would say to you, I want to borrow money from you. I would say I want to borrow X from you. And I would say I want to borrow your car. In English, there is no difference in terms, but in halacha there is a difference. One is a lashon halva, one is a lashon she'ela. So ribis only makes sense when you realm of halva, when I'm borrowing something in the sense of a loiv and a mal, but not in the sense of a shol and a mashon. How do you know whether a particular relationship is mashal shol or mal of a loiv? So usually the way to tell is the object itself going to be returned? If I borrow your car from you, so imagine I borrow a car from you, and I take the car, and I keep the car, and I buy, and I give you back the equivalent car. That's not acceptable. You're not supposed to do that. The guy may want a better car, but I like a nicer car. But that's not the normal understanding. When I borrow a car, imagine if I borrow a car from, or I rent the car from Hertz. So I rent the car from Hertz, and I tell Hertz, I'm going to keep the car, and I'll give you back another car. I'm going to jump in the lake. I said, they're not selling cars, they're renting cars. They want the original car back. When I borrow flour from you, when I borrow sugar from you, I don't want the original sugar back. I borrow an egg from you and keep the egg, give me back an equivalent egg. So that's usually the difference between a halva and a she'ela. So the whole issue of ribis only applies derech halva, not derech she'ela b'chlal. Sometimes you have a situation where you have a combination of both. Let's say I borrow a car from you. So I'm borrowing a car. The car is a she'ela. So there's no ribis on the car. But the gas, I'm also borrowing from you. The gas is a halva. So is that considered to be a problem? Let's say if I borrow a car from you with a full tank, and I return to you a car with a full tank, so that should be a problem of sahab. So if I give you back mamish more, so then maybe that would be ribis, shalav ribis deraisa. If we stipulate, if I say to you, I'm borrowing a half, I want to use your car, and it's got half a tank in it, and I'm hereby stipulating, we make a condition, I'm borrowing half the tank, and I give you back a full tank, that's mamish ribis deraisa. Ribis deraisa is not only on cash, if ribis losita nachlecha, it's not only on food, and not only on cash, so anything that's used up. So I use up the gears, I give you back different gears, that would be a problem. Let's say I say to you that I'm borrowing the car, and I'm borrowing a half a tank of gas, and we give you back exactly to the ounce, and exactly a half a tank of gas. That may also be a problem. That may be a problem of saw. Even though Minotaur, that's not ribs, not deliberately giving you back more, but maybe the gas is going to go up. Once in a while, gas prices do go up sometimes. So would that fall under the category of any of these kulas? So it gets a little bit tricky. So if I have gas, usually most people don't have gas sitting in their little red cans in their garage, so I don't have any gas. So I don't have the first cool of Salvasa. Or say the second cool of Salvasa. There's a Shah Kavua. There's a set price to gas. The gas prices, what, well, goes up?
Down four. Every other place is a different price.
Yeah, it's crazy. Plus it changes. Well, every day it changes. Every time you have a BP gas crisis, so everything changes. You don't know where it's coming and going in terms of gas prices. So it's a double move for people. I don't know, Shechinim borrow gas, maybe, I'm not sure. So usually the reason why people are not so mad about this is that when people borrow cars from each other, they usually don't think about it in terms of the gas per se. It's, I'm borrowing the car, that's basically what I'm buying from you. So I may fill up, even though I borrowed it, it was only 3/4 full, and I'll fill it up to the top when I return it. So that's like it's not the shot that I borrow the gas and I'm giving you back more gas with Torah Savah. That is thanking you for letting me use the car. That's for the wear and tear of the car, the fact that I inconvenienced you. You didn't have the car available for a few hours, so I'm putting in the extra gas. It's not a halva. Yes, most people, when they borrow a car, they don't think of it as I'm making a halva on the gas. I'm making a she'ela on the car, and the same way I could charge you rent on the car, Right? That's not a problem. So the rent in the car is, I'm volunteering to pay a little bit of rent, a little bit of rent that I'm paying, and then I'm filling up a couple of extra gallons of gas for you. That's a lechayr. It's not really a problem. If we could see the owner and the buyer of the car would actually stipulate that I'm insisting, I'm lending you a half a tank of gas, you have to give me back a full tank, that's Ribbis Deraisa. If we say, I'm stipulating you have to give me half a tank back, when I buy the half a tank, that's Ribbis Derabana, that would be sold to sell. So usually there's no stipulation, usually the gas is not really not really a factor in terms of the Ikra
Sheva. So if you know someone's going a long distance, so the gas is taken from the bedroom when you lend the car.
But the filling up, the question is the filling up the quasi borrower a gallon of gas? Yeah, for the favor of using the car, not for the ounce of gas that he's, I think.
Yeah.
I'll return it to you.
I'm going to Jersey anyway.
Yeah, okay, I think that's okay. As long as it should be clear that it's not that he's borrowing half a tank and he's paying back a full tank. It shouldn't be helpful.
Well, they
No, the car rentals are like that all the time. That they have to fill up. If they give you a full tank, you have to fill them up with a full tank. So what's pshat? So, but because you're renting the, because you're borrowing the gas. I think the pshat is they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to. That's what they charge you. They charge you $45 a gallon. If you bring it back half full, that's because it's a hassle for them. They don't want to be bothered with filling it up. So I'm not sure that that's. I don't know. The Gemara has in the beginning of the fourth Perek Hazov Mitzvah. The fourth Perek Hazov Mitzvah has nothing to do with rivets, but one of the major sugars of rivets happens to be in the beginning of Perek Hazov. The Mishnah, the Gemara comments in the Mishnah Hazov and tells us that there's a basic yisod in terms of economics that the Torah accepts. Today it doesn't really exist, but at least in the perfect Torah view of the economy, where you have obviously prices go up and down, things go up and down. So how do you view that? What's pshat? So do we view that the money goes up and down, or do we view that the commodity, that the object goes up and down? So the Gemara's assumption is that money remains the same, that the money doesn't change. So a gold coin is worth the same amount of a gold coin tomorrow and next week and next year, as long as it's the same currency, so it remains the same. It's the objects that go up and down. So it's based on this, the Mishnah says, explains in the Mishnah in Perech Azov, that there's no problem in terms of saw b'saw when it comes to lending coins, when it comes to lending currency. Because the whole gezeirah of saw b'saw is, I'm going to lend you 10 apples, and you're giving me back 10 apples, and those 10 apples are worth more than they were worth last week. So that's the problem of ribbis and dirham. It looks like ribbis. But if I lend you 10 gold coins, then you return me back 10 gold coins, even though the buying power of those 10 gold coins may be more than it was last time, that doesn't mean anything. That just means that the apples went up and down in price. But the coins remain the same. The coins were worth X, and they're always going to be worth X. The concept of currency changing, the value of currency changing, so it doesn't exist in Hamas. So the Mishnah says that sometimes you have a situation where it's hard to know what's the currency and what's the object that you're buying. So if I go to the store and I'm bringing gold coins and I'm buying apples, that's pretty obvious that the gold coins are the kesef and the apples are the payers. So the apples go up in price. So there's a problem of ribbis on sub-sub apples. There's no problem of ribbis on sub-sub coins. But sometimes it's not so simple. What if I buying coins for other coins? What if I come to you and I say I want to give you gold coins and I want to buy you silver coins, or I want to take my copper coins and buy you gold coins? So what's considered to be the currency, and what's considered to be the payros? So the Mishnah says this as an afkamina ladina, not just in the realm of ribbis, as an afkamina ladina in the realm of kinyanim, because we know the halacha is that the talmud are not nikne bekesef min haTorah, they are the Torah most kindness. If I go into a store and I give the guy $10 for the apples, the apples would come on even before I made the Mashiach, before I made the Hagbah on the apples. That's the din min haTorah we pass him. But mid the Rabbanan, it's not true. Mid the Rabbanan, they made a gezeirah that it's not a good idea for me to give $10 and then I don't have the apples physically in my rishus yet, because this, what's going to happen? The apples are going to get stolen. The apples are going to get, there's going to be a fire in the storehouse, and the store owner is not going to bother the Mishnah Nefesh to save the apples. They're not his apples anymore. So therefore, the Chumim made a gezeirah called this from Chitecha Bialiyah. But since it's going to be potentially little of a hefset for the person who gave the money already, so mid the Rabbanan, they did away with kidding kesef. Mid the Rabbanan, they said kesef is no longer kaina. The only way to be kaina without one is Mashiach, Agbah, Masir, etc. That's according to Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish says that it's not true. Reish Lakish says it's mamash adin min haTorah, but kesef is not kaina b'mitav. The Mashiach is kaina mid the Raisa. So again, machlekes amarayim, where this halacha came from, but there's no question about it that kesef lamaisa, kesef is not kind of a problem today, but kesef, but meshicha is kind. Comes the first Mishnah in the fourth Bechel of Metzi and says, sometimes it's tricky, we don't know what's the kesef, what's the peiros. So if I'm coming to you and I say, I want to buy your silver coins, so here's X amount of gold coins to buy your silver coins, and I give you the gold coins. So was the gold coin, was that the peiros? Was that the Mashiach? You made the Mashiach on the peiros already? Or the gold coins, the kesef, to buy the silver coins? You can't tell. This is coins and this is coins. Something's the kesef. Well, something's the currency and something's the peiros. So how do you know which is which? This machlekes atanoim. Gemara says, the first thing Azov says, that Rabbi Dan Nasi changed his mind about this. In the olden days, Rabbi Dan Nasi used to say that whatever was more choshev, so that's considered to be automatically the kesef. That's labeled as the currency. Therefore, the first Mishnah in Hazov says, Hazov Kodesh, the other way around, the first he, Hazov Kodesh, the Kesef, and the Kesef was a very, that was the later days, that was his later time. So in the early days, Rabbi Danasi used to say that it all depends on what's considered to be more chashuv. And then later years, Rabbi Danasi realized that it's not so much a function of what's considered to be more chashuv, but it's a function of what's considered to be more easy to deal with. It means what's considered to be more charif, what goes on the market, what people are willing to accept more. So sometimes you can have very expensive coins that store owners don't like to deal with, so that's not considered necessarily to be kesef. So it's back and forth, different criteria. What's considered to be kesef, what's considered to be peiros. And after meeting for the first mission, Azov, Azov, Kurnas, Akasme, and Akasme, Azov, Azov, Kurnas, and Chayshis, and Chayshis, Chunas, Azov, etc. All the different klal in terms of kinyanim. So the Gemara in the beginning of Azov says that whatever the klal is in terms of Hilchas kinyanim, and it nafkamir is Hilchas Maisa Sheni, and other areas of halacha, so that's the nafkamir in terms of ribbis as well. That whatever halachically is called kesef is not subject to ribbis as long as you're getting the same amount back. Whatever is halachically called peiros is a problem. So, besaw, ribbis, midir, rabbanan, even if you're getting the same amount back. If you're getting more back, then it's ribbis deraisa. Assuming that you're getting the same amount back, so by kesef, it's mutlach al-chila, and by whatever is peiros would be a problem, midir, rabbanan, unless you have one of those coolers that we mentioned. So how does all of this play out for us, Bizmanazer? Tachlis, what's considered to be kesef Bizmanazer? So all the folks can say that Bizmanazer, the answer is very simple. Whatever the government says is kesef, is kesef. Whatever is legal tender, that's considered to be kesef. Whatever the government doesn't accept, it's not considered to be kesef. So it's not a shayla. So if I lend you $100 to be returned $100, so that's not called ribbis. If I lend you 100 apples to be returned 100 apples, that is called ribbis. That's called sabasamid derabbanan. Even within this Haggadah that the folks can say, whatever the rules were on the days in the Mishnah, don't really matter, because the real rule is whatever is considered to be the government declares, the Machus declares to be the Kesef, that's considered to be the Kesef of Chaladeus. So sometimes you have a little bit of complicated Shilas. What would be the din? Let's say if I have something which is technically money, but it happens not to be legal currency in this place. Let's say a person is person's in Europe and wants to lend $20 to somebody. So that's a problem. If I want to lend you $20 in Germany, then you're going to give me back $20. That's ribbis mid rabbanan. That's all besoch, because $20 is not currency. You can't go to a store and buy things with $20, as I found out. You got to first turn it into euros, and then you got to buy something. So if you lend somebody 20 euros and you get 20 euros back in Germany, that's okay. But if you give them $20, you get $20 back. That's a problem of ribbis mid rabbanan, unless you have any of these other coolers. Maybe I want to lend you $20, you can give me back $20, and you have some money in your pocket. So that would be Yeshlo, so that would be the first kula. So there may be certain kulas here, but in terms of the basic issue of sofas, it has to be currency in that particular place. The poskim say we assume that, let's say I want to lend you euros in America. I want to lend you 20 euros, you can give me back 20 euros, that's a problem for Mr. Rabbanan. So you have to figure out which kulas to apply. So if I happen to have euros, if I have some euros, so then it would be okay. That's like so beso when he has a little bit of wheat. But if he doesn't have any, that'll be a problem. What's the other kula? The other kula is the shar hashuk, is the shar kavua. The shar changes every 10 seconds, it changes. From you look in the morning, you look in the afternoon, so the currency rate is constantly in flux. So that's not considered, most of the poskim assume that's not considered to be a shar kavua. So that would be a problem. If you have money in the bank, the post can say if it's accessible, if you can manage get it. So, how could you get it exactly? So, let's say if it's going to come out, right? It'll come out in whatever currency you're in that country, right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even though you have, it has to be accessible right now.
The post
can. You can draw euros from your account. If people have dollars, they'll bank you euros, and they'll give you whatever
Right, so that's, right, that's the problem. But what if you're in Europe and, you, and you're borrowing dollars and you can't go to the ATM and take out dollars?
Yeah, you can't go to the ATM and just get dollars. So you don't really have dollars that are yeshlo. You have to go buy dollars. That's not called yeshlo. Otherwise, everything is yeshlo.
Well, no. Why is the fact that you have dollars in America, so why isn't that yeshlo?
So that's what some say. Yeah, so that's a question. Right. So the post can talk about that, right? The post, that's Yehovah B'ni. Is that the cool about Yehovah B'ni? So in the olden days, the post used to say, that cool only makes sense when it's mamish accessible. You can get there. So maybe as bad as everything you can get there. You can hop on a plane. Anyone can hop on a plane and get anywhere in the world in a few hours. So maybe you can argue that would be a cool about Yehovah B'ni. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't know about that. There is a shaila that the post can discuss in Eretz Yisrael. Has its unique shaila. What's considered to be the currency in Eretz Yisrael? So we know the shkolim are currency, but it's a dollar. A dollar is considered to be, in a sense, like a second currency. So it's not a legal currency. It means we all know the facts are, you go into most stores in Eretz Yisrael today and probably buy things in dollars. On the other hand, it's not really recognized as a currency. You can't get in a bus in Eretz Yisrael, right? I don't think they won't take dollars. You want to go, right? I don't think you can do that, right? You can't go in a bus in Eretz Yisrael. You can't go to the post office and buy stamps. Where do you buy stamps in Eretz Yisrael? No, is this some of the bank? No, nobody buys stamps anymore. But in the old days, didn't they used to buy stamps? Yeah, the door? No, there used to be some, no, I don't remember. There used to be some funny thing about where to buy stamps. I don't know. So if you want to go to the government, you want to go buy something from the government, you can't bring dollars. It's not a legal currency. So a dollar is considered to be kesef, enough kesef, the fact that most stores, the stores in Meshuram will take it. Most stores, most places will take it. So is that considered to be a legal currency or not? So you find an interesting machloikis in the poskim, and it appears that the machloikis is only a reflection of what the Matzias HaDvarim is, depending which year any given psach was given. So years ago, when I first learned the Kerbi Avna, so everybody wanted dollars. Like nobody wanted the shkolim. The shkolim were not doing so well. So people were constantly wanted dollars. So you could argue that those poskim lived in 25, 30 years ago, that we're probably right. That dollars were considered to be, like, in a sense, a quasi-second currency in Eretz Yisrael. Bizman hazeh, it's very hard to say that. Nobody wants dollars. All the real estate is now, all the rates are all done to shekel now. The shekel is stronger than a dollar now. So to say that a dollar in Eretz Yisrael today is considered to be a second currency, like, I thought that was a little bit hard to say. So I think we probably have to take it, have to treat it like a saw bazaar. Well, that'll be a problem if you're not going to lend money in Eretz Yisrael. You lend the guy $5 in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to come on to the kula of Sal Basar, whatever those kulas are. So maybe that's called Yeshlo. Okay, maybe that's good enough. Maybe that's called Yeshlo. I know, you have to think about it a little bit. So that's not so posh that they should be mutter. Time to lend dollars in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman. Okay, so that was the Shiraim of last week's year about Sal Basar. So we finished that topic in terms of Ribbis Durabon and Derech Halva. Now we move on to the next topic, which is another type of Ribbis Durabon. That's Ribbis Durabon and Derech Mekech Omemker. The very first Mishnah in Ezu Neshe tells us that sometimes you can have situations which don't even look like loans, b'chlah. There's no halva taking place, but afa pichein, they're still considered to be a problem of Ribbis on a level of Durabon. Why? Because the basic klal in Uchus Ribbis Durabon is what the Gemara says, kol aganot or osar. It's any time someone is supposed to be entitled to a certain amount of money, it's his money, and he's letting you hold on to that money for longer, even though it didn't come about derech halva, it came about through some kind of a mechira, some mechira or something, just the mere fact that I should be getting money now, and I'm not getting money now, now I'm going to get more money for that delay. Anytime there's extra money being given to somebody for not collecting the money that's due to him now, that's already smacks of a problem of riches. The Gemara has a whole series of different halachas throughout Ezer Neshe, complicated scenarios. We'll try to streamline them just to give, like, the basic ones that are most relevant halachas I said for us. So one situation that the Gemara describes is the basic ABCs of Mechira. It's understood that whenever I go into a store and I buy something, so I get the object and I'm supposed to give the money. That's what's supposed to happen. If that doesn't happen, then we can potentially have a ribbis problem. So what would the halacha be is the following case. I go into a store and I buy something. You tell me, okay, hey, you want to buy a bag of potatoes, so it's going to cost you $2. So give me the $2 now. I say, listen, I don't have $2 right now. Put it on credit. Look at my cola, make a little credit bill. So instead of me paying you $2 now, like I really should, put it on credit, and next week when I come to pay the credit, I'll pay you $2.50. So comes the Gemara and says, that's a problem. That the going price is $2 for the potatoes. I'm supposed to pay the $2 now. The fact that I'm giving the extra 50 cents, that's dafka in response to the fact that you're delaying in your collection of the quote-unquote debt. So that smacks of ribbis. That's the problem of ribbis with the Rabbanan. So that shaila is very relevant to Zman HaZeh, assuming that it's set up in such a way. Let's say there is no set price for the potatoes, that I don't make the stipulation and say, well, if you pay now, the going rate is $2, but if you pay in a week from now, you pay in credit, it's going to be $2.25. Well, I don't say that. I walk into the store, and I say, listen, I'd like to buy these potatoes. I'm not going to pay right now. Well, what's the price? So you say the price is $2.25. So we didn't set up a two-tier price system. We didn't say that, like, I'm paying you $2 if I pay now and $2.25 if I pay next week. Like, I told you the price of potatoes. A guy can make whatever price of potatoes he wants. So it doesn't look like ribbons. It looks like he's more expensive for potatoes. The guy next door is charging a cheaper potato. As long as it's not mamish spelled out that it's a two-tier price system, and as long as it's not clear that that's what's happening. Let's say everybody in town is selling potatoes for $2, and this guy jacks up the price to $2.25, so everybody realizes that every other customer that comes in gets for $2. You're the only guy who gets it for $2.25, then it's nika, then it's obvious that you're paying it for terrorist ribbons. Okay, look, the only time it would be mutter to, even though your intention is really to charge the guy more for because he's paying on credit, you have to be careful, number one, not to stipulate that. And number two, it has to be not really clear that that's what you're doing. So you have to be very careful in terms of this. You know, any setup that says it befavors, that's for sure going to be a problem.
There's anything to do with stores that say if you pay cash now,
yeah,
there's even on credit cards.
Yeah, this has everything to do with it. Yeah, this is a big problem. So this is a very real problem. Can you go into a Jewish store and have such a setup that he has two price systems? He says, you pay me cash, you get it for $10, you pay me with a credit card, can you get it for $11? So it's a lumdish shaila. What's pshat on that extra dollar? Why is he charging you for that extra dollar? So it's a lumdish shaila. Is pshat that he's charging you for the extra dollar because he's got to go drezach with the credit card company. He's got to collect a piece of paper. He's got to go send in the receipts. It's administratively. He's got to pay a secretary an extra 10 minutes to deal with all this balagan. So he's paying you for the administrative costs that it's costing him. If that's the case, that is mutter. If that's the case, that's not considered to be ribbis. But if that's not the case, so then it is considered to be ribbis. We have this in gas stations, you have this a lot. Their gas station says, $2.53 for cash and $2.63 for credit. So give me a break. It's not costing the guy for 10 cents extra gallon. That means he's charging me. It's costing him $2.50, $3 extra per tank of gas for the administrative cost. That's a joke. It's a late summer. The answer is he wants to get the money right away. And he wants the cash right now. And if you can only pay with credit, so then he's going to take advantage of you and make you pay a couple of extra bucks. That's a problem if it's a Jewish.
Everyone has their own
hedge now. So it has, yeah. That's probably not what his intention. Both can assume that scenario of a gas station would be a problem. What? It would have to be a really, really small, very, very small.
The fact that whenever you buy
yeah, but they charge him more than that. I think they charge him more. They want to make some more money off of you. So I don't know, I think that's a problem. So if it's a Jewish-owned gas station, I think that one should avoid that. It doesn't mean you have to avoid the gas station. It just means you have to pay with cash. If you pay with cash, so then it's head to go more. But if you go the route of credit card, then you go pick and head to risk it with the gas station. No. I'm talking about gas station. Gas stations, so you can pay with a lot of pay at gas station with cash. No.
Is there a difference if the set price is if you pay later, but it's cheaper to pay?
Oh, so that's Chayodim's cool. Yes. There's some poskim who have such a Psechejman that you can turn the prices upside down. The real price is the credit card price. If you pay now, I'm giving you a break. That's a shiloh that works. So some poskim make that. Ruben the Ruben poskim better buy into that. It's very hard to go ask the guy at the Exxon station whether that's what he's. First of all, many poskim held.
Huh? You can see what the price is.
Right. First of all, many of the poskim didn't like that whole cool altogether, and even if them love that cool is true, whether it's the Metzias being played out today is not so clear. But we had a guy on Newbridge Road, right down the block from my house. So we had a gas station, and the guy, some new guy bought the gas station. So I came in one day, and I was schmoozing with the new owner of the gas station, and he said to me something like, he said the word Shabbos. So most gas station owners don't know the word Shabbos. I said to them, like, I asked them, like, how do you know about Shabbos? So he said, yeah, well, I'm in the middle of converting to become Jewish. It was a Chabad. He's kind of, he says, he's telling a story. Like, he's very interested in everything. He was, I see it says in big bold letters, cash this price, credit the next price. So I was trying to convince him that it would be worth his while not to convert. If he converts, so then I'm going to have to pass him out, announce the shul, no one can pay credit card to him. And meanwhile, Lemaisa, he told me he's not quite done. He took a little bit of break from his conversion situation. The more serious shayla with him was, the people, he was a mechanic also, so people used to give the cars in on Friday to him to fix. They came back on Monday. So if he would have really converted, we would have had a more serious problem. Maybe we would have closed this store. I don't know. Anyway, Tachlis, he never converted to the best of my knowledge, and he sold out to some new guy. The new guy was clearly, obviously not, definitely mutla choladeus to take. Take ribbis and pay ribbis, lanochi sashich, in all sense of the word. Okay, anyway, so getting back to the story. You have to be careful when you have these two types of price systems. That could be a problem. You have sometimes with checks also. Sometimes you have a situation where they say, like, if you pay with cash, you pay X, you pay with a check. That's the question. Is a check considered to be paying with cash or not? That's a big machlekes haposkim, which is not really a machlekes, it's really a metziah shabbos. Rabbi Reisman has a 20-page addendum in a sefer about the depends on different kinds of checks. There's a fundamental difference about checking system in America and United States to the rest of the world, basically. So in America, the word is that you're allowed to legally stop a check, right? And once you, just because you gave a check is just you're giving your word that you're going to pay. What? Yeah. But he said in Eretz Yisrael, which follows the European system, the British system of checks. So a check is mamish binding, and you can't stop it. So if you can't stop it, that could be, you could argue that's mamish like giving kesef. I don't know. It's a couple about this. Anyway, whatever it is, the bottom line is, whatever you give you two prices, that's a potential problem in terms of ribbis. So that issue of ribbis is assuming that you're not paying right now. Normally the halacha is when you buy something, you should pay it at times. If you're paying later, that's a problem of ribbis. You can have the opposite problem of ribbis. What if you pay in advance? So here you have ribbis not coming. Not that the kona is paying ribbis to the mocha, but here the mocha is paying ribbis to the kona. So if I come to you and I say, listen, I'd like to pay in advance. I want to come back next week and pick up my merchandise. I don't want to buy it now. I'm going to buy it next week. So I'm going to give you some money in advance. I'm going to give you advance payment now on a condition. I'm going to give you advance payment on the condition that you cut the price down a little bit. So the going price for this object is $100. I'm going to say, listen, I'm paying you now a week in advance. You're going to get to use this money for an extra week. I only want to pay $90, not $100. That's also ribbis. It's ribbis in the other direction. Because here I'm lending you $90 right now. You're not entitled to the money right now. You didn't sell me the object yet. So the money that I'm giving you now is not the Torah's demand back up. The money that I'm giving you is like a whole lot. I mean a Torah, this is not a problem. A Torah, this is all derech like Chumemke. You're above this natural ribbis as well. That's the very Shigemara. So it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. That's a problem. That if I... What?
It's a halva, but you're never getting the money back.
It's a halva. I'm giving you $90, and then you're going to give me an object back, which is worth the value of $90, right? Right, but because I lent you, you're going to give me something that's worth $100. So because I gave you the halva of $90, you're going to give me, in a sense, an object that's worth $100. So that's also a problem of ribbis v'derabbanan. So here, there are also a couple of coolers in this. Here, what would the halacha be as follows? Let's say I come to you and I say, I want to buy this object from you, and you have the object right now. It's sitting in your storehouse right now. I don't want to pick it up now. I don't need it right now. I'm out of town right now. I'm going to give you I want to get the better price. So I'm going to give you $90 right now. If I would come to you next week and give you, you charge me $100. I'll give you $90 right now. But the object is mama sitting there ready. It's ready, finished, already done to go. So here the Mishnah says that it's okay. That's not considered to be a problem of ribbis midrabbanan. Why is it not considered to be ribbis derabbanan? Because we view this as I bought it already. So it's kiyum v'chiyur is already taking place. The only problem is if you don't have the object anymore, the object's in a factory. It's in the middle of being made. And I give you $90, so how can you say I bought the object? It doesn't exist yet. It's the shloboli olam. But if the object's there already, it's just that I don't want to pick it up right now. So that's considered to be mutter. What's pshat in that? So it's a big machlekes rishonim. Machlekes the ram and the raivin. How do I understand pshat in that kula? Why should that work? L'maisa kesef is not kinyan. At the end of the day, it's not a kinyan yet. At the end of the day, it is a whole vav. At the end of the day, you can back out from the mechira. So why do we all of a sudden does the halacha view this as being acceptable? So the Rambam seems to say the reason why this is mutter is because me'ikar adin min ha'Torah kesef is really kinyan. So min ha'Torah mos is kindness. So the din is, the Mishnah says about Metziah, that even though the Maos HaKadosh Min HaTorah, but Midirabbanan, they did away with it. But they also said that if a person backs out from the Kinyan Maos, from the Kinyan Kesef, he gets a Mishapara, we're going to curse him in Beis Din. So it's not such a good thing to back out from the Kinyan Kesef. So even though, you're right, technically speaking, but the guy can get his money back because the Mechir wasn't Chal yet. But since it's Chal Min HaTorah, and it's Chal Lagabi Mishapara, it's basically, it is a good Kinyan Kesef. So Lagabi, the Yisad Derabbanan of this Ribbis, not Ribbis Derais anyway, it's old Derech Mechel Memkir. Lagabi, the Yisad Derabbanan of Ribbis, so the Chachamim were a little bit more Mechel. They let you, in a sense, follow the Dindir Reis of Kinyanim in order to permit this. The Rambam Shita is that the kesef that you use, the type of Kinyan kesef that you're using here, has to be a good Kinyan kesef on the level of the Araisa. It's got to be something that really would have sufficed as a Kinyan kesef. That's the Rambam has a sheet about being cutting something with a milva. Let's say if I, the Gemara says in the beginning of Sefer Kedushin, I'm a kaddish b'milva ain't a mekudeshes. Let's say the chassan last week borrowed money from the kala, so he owes her $100. Now he comes under the chuppah and he says that he wants to be mekadeshar. He's not going to give her a ring. But he's going to be Mekadeshar, I'm sorry, the other way around. She borrowed money from him. She borrowed money from him last week, so she owes him $100. So he'll say to her, I'm Mekadesh you with the fact that I'm being Meichel that Chov. So I'm being Mochel $100 to you. Let that be the Kesef Kedushin. The Gemara says, Eina Mekadeshes. I'm Mekadesh B'milva Eina Mekadeshes. The Rambam holds that I'm Mekadesh B'milva Eina Mekadeshes, but you can use a Milva, you can use Mechilas HaMilva to be a good Kinyan Kesef for Karka. And from Metal to Legavim Mishapara, that Bechilas HaMilva is considered to be a Maisek in Kesef in all other areas of Allah. It's a that calls Menuchas Kedushin, and it doesn't work. So one of the rayas that the Rambam, that the Sikkelim bring to the Rambam, is from this halacha of Ribbis. That the Gemara says at the beginning of Ezu Neshech, that I could play this kind of a stunt with you. I could be Meichel, I remember this complicated sugi, the first sugi of Ezu Neshech. I could be meichel to you a certain amount of money, and that'll be the Kinyan Kesef, and you'll give me a better rate on what the object was worth, and that's also good enough. Because since the other person has the object already, I'm kind of the object with the Mechilas HaMilva. So the Rambam says, Mechilas HaMilva has to be a Kinyan Kesef. If Mechilas HaMilva wouldn't be a Kinyan Kesef, then there would be a problem of Ribbis D'Rabbanan over here. So the Ravid says, what are you talking about? The Ravid says, the reason why it's mutter for me to give you kesef and get a better rate if you have the object, it's not because the kesef is koine. Kesef is not koine b'chlam. If they're a bonon, they're chamo mesachin. Kesef is not koine. It's a kula nuchas ribis. It doesn't have to fit into the regular rules of chesha mishpun of mekcha memker. Kach tik du chachamim. That if the object is ready for delivery, it's just I'm dilly-dallying for a couple of days, that's not called ribis. Not because it's not kinyan kesef. So at the end of the day, there's a lomb d'shem achlek is the ram and the pshat in this kula. Why is it that the halacha permits me to buy something at a better rate, at a lower rate if I give you the money up front, assuming that the object is ready? Is it based on a real formal din that I'm mamish kind of the object, so it's my object, it's not ribbis b'chlal? Well, you say no, that it's not kach tiducham, a special kula nuchas ribbis, nothing to do with nuchas kinyan. At the end of the day, it's not that much of an achilin for us. At the end of the day, this kula exists. Halacha l'maaseh, that's the din, that I'm not permitted to give money in advance and get a better price. The only time I'm allowed to do that is if the object exists already and I'm either cone it or quasi cone it, then it would be okay. The Mishnah goes one step further. The Mishnah says in Ezu Neshech that not only am I not allowed to give you money up front and stipulate that I'm going to get a better price, but I'm not permitted to give you money up front, even if there's a chance that I'm going to get a better price. It's called Ein Poskein Ala Peiros. But I give you X amount of money right now, so you're a farmer, right? I'm a balabas, you're a farmer. I want to buy next year's harvest. So I give you $1,000, we set up a price, that'll be $1,000, and that's going to give me X amount of bushels of grain, and I lock in a price right now. Now, it could be that the price may go up. So it may end up, you're going to be stuck. You're going to have to give me the lower price. You're going to give me the better deal. Why are you giving me the better deal? Because I was mocking you the most, because I gave you the money in advance. So the Mishnah says, that's also a problem. That's the corollary of the first type of ribbis that we're talking about. In the first kind of ribbis we just mentioned, where it's not a locking in a price, it's a stipulating of a price. I'm saying to you, I'm giving you X amount of money now, before the deal is actually going to be done, before the object's even around, but I'm expected to get a better price. In the case of Polskin and Aperos, I don't know what's going to happen. It could be the price can go up, can go down. I have no idea. But I want to lock in a better price on my behalf. That's also considered a problem. Again, for the same reason. Because any time that I give you money in advance, and my giving you the money in advance before the sale is technically valid, and I'm going to gain from doing that, that's massive ribbis.
What? Looks like he's investing in the company.
Yeah, but the food doesn't exist yet.
Well, I'm giving you money now to go do... No, it's
yeah, but you don't own anything yet. The concept doesn't exist. So you have a lot of these things. You have a lot of these types of shilas. A lot of these shilas. These discounts that I enter into an agreement with you. I'm going to give you X amount of money, and I'm going to pay less because I'm paying the money up front. So you have this in a lot of situations. The post can discuss about this in Eretz Yisrael. You want to buy a kartisia. You want to buy a bus card, bus ticket in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you get if you pay per trip? So you pay, I don't know, what's the bus card in Eretz Yisrael now? How much is it now?
Years.
How many shekel is it?
Six
shekel a bus, right? That's the point, right? That's the last I remember. So if you go, let's say I want to take 10 bus rides. So what do? So each time I go, I pay 6 shekels. But if I want to buy a kartisia, so I'll give Eged, I'll give them 60 shekel, and what will they give me? They give me 11 rides, give me 12 rides, give me whatever it is, they give me an extra rides. So wait a second, hold on. I'm putting money forward, I'm giving money in advance, and because I'm giving money in advance, so they're giving me more of the product, they're giving me a cheaper price. That should be a problem. So I'm lending money, it's Kilu, I'm lending money to Eged, and now they're giving me riches in return. They're giving me an extra ride. So if you hold like Rav Moshe, that whenever the loive is considered to be a corporation, so Bechal, it's not a problem. Eged's not a person. Eged is the, who owns Eged? Does the government own Eged? No. Isn't a government owned? Is it a private company? Is that owned by the government, Eged? No, it doesn't matter. Either it's owned by the government or it's owned by it's a corporation. There's no one person, Mr. Eged, who you're going to take to a din Torah. So the Lova, Eged is the Lova, so there's no Shivat Aguf. There's no particular person with a Shivat Aguf on. Mechara according to Ramesh, that would be okay. But those who don't accept Ramesh would have a problem with that. It may be a problem. One could argue, some folks could want to be naked, but say that the reason why Eged is giving you the extra ride, it's because of the tircha. Yeah, it's not pshat. It's not pshat that Eged is waiting. They're plotting to get your 60 shekels. So they can go buy their bus driver's cups of coffee. They don't need the money. It's not pshat. They're going to make this on the little kartisiyah. You're giving them a week in advance. They don't. Not that they need the money to go invest the money quickly. Why do they want to give this? Because it's easier for them. They don't. It makes it easier for everybody. Easier for the bus drivers. Easier for their system. So one could argue that that's bechol not considered to be ribbis.
Given all 11 tickets right now.
Oh, so that's what some poskim, right? Some poskim want to say that. Some poskim want to have that. Right, some poskim say that I could get on and off the bus 11 times. So mom is buying.
Family,
11 kids. So I don't know. So there are different svaras law. I was like, according to Ramesha, it's mutal lagamre, but according to Eretz Yisrael poskim, we're machm against Ramesha. So they have to come to one of these other coolers to defend. I think the island bus could see some of them. They rely on one of these. There are other shadows that come up in terms of this. Sometimes you have this problem with yeshivas a lot. If you pay tuition up front, they'll give you a better deal. They'll cut down some of your tuition. So you know how to do that. So I'm giving the money up front. Same story, because I'm lending their taka, the yeshiva needs the money. The yeshiva wants the money. That's not just administrative costs. They want the money up front. So I mean, I give them the money up front, and now they're giving me a little bit off tuition during the course of the year. So isn't that a problem? It depends. Going through what? It's all Rebbe's Rabban. It's the Tovus Yeshiva. It's not really the Tovus Yeshiva. Normally, Rebbe's Rabban means the yeshiva can charge ribbis. The yeshiva is allowed to collect ribbis. Here, I'm collecting ribbis from the yeshiva. It's not exactly. I mean, there's the Tovus Yeshiva at the end of the game because
they right now.
I don't know, like, I'm not sure. But here, according to Ramosha, Zicha Mutter, because according to Ramosha, the yeshiva is also a corporation. There's a public entity, so according to Ramosha, it's going to be Mutter Lagamri. So here, many posts can make Lagamri. So Verizon quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, who was making Lagamri on yeshiva tuition for a different reason. He said that This issa de rabbanan is only when you're buying objects. When you're buying, when you're purchasing services, then doesn't apply bechlal. There's another gemara. The gemara says that if you have somebody who's working for you, and you want to pay him now, even though he didn't finish the job yet. Normally, a person isn't entitled to get paid until he finishes the job. So if I want to give him his money up front now, I'll give it to him now, and then he'll do more work for me. He'll give me a better rate on the schiras. So the gemara says that's okay as long as he started the job. As long as he started, he didn't finish the job. As long as he started the job a little bit, so that's okay. So this is the derabbanan. It's only when you're dealing with the cheftz, not when you're dealing with the derech schiras. So b'yashem, the lom d'shashayla. How do you view when you pay tuition? So what's pshat in tuition? You're buying an entity. What are you buying? You're buying the classroom. What are you buying? You're paying all the people in the school. So part of your tuition is going to pay the teachers, and part of it is going to pay the principal, part of it is the secretaries and the staff and the maintenance, everything. Look, so that's considered to be. A schirus. So when I pay the tuition, let's say I come to the tuition board in May for next year, can I say to them, okay, I'm going to pay you advance now. They're already working for me. The job's already started. They're already planning next year's curriculum. They're ready. The secretaries are ready. You're already planning, typing up next year's memos. So I've already, everyone has already started their jobs. So that's a schirus. And a schirus l'chayr wouldn't be a problem. So then gives l'hokil and those kinds of things as well. You have a lot of these shailas also. You have all the discounts on subscriptions and all this kind of stuff. If you buy a Mishpacha magazine, so if you pay up front, you get one price. If you pay per issue, it's more expensive. So all those things occur, should be problems. And there, Mamre says a favor. It says it. This is if you pay by subscriptions, you get a discount. That should be a problem, unless you hold it. The Moshe and all these things. You look at Moshe, all these things are all corporations. So you can be making also a Verizon right to the safe, that even the Machmir wouldn't accept the Moshe. Maybe it could be argued that even those who want to be Machmir against Moshe would permit these things. It's only Rubis Dirabonan, not real Rubis. Moshe was making even a Mamish money out of the bank. Real Rubis Diraisa, Moshe. You Mamish buy bonds, all these things which are real McCoy Havas. All these things are all derech mek chamem, because we're all by definition with the Rabbanah, the Gemara says. But one could argue that even the machmir maybe would be making all these kinds of things. So people tend to be making. Could be a lot of these companies. I wouldn't be surprised if all the Frum magazines, they all have heteriskas, they all have all kind of arrangements. But the Kohen Ramesh, none of that would be necessary. It would all be mutter, because the love is not really a love. There is one other dimension of ribbit derech mek chamem, I want to speak about today. That's what the Gemara speaks about in the Mitzia. What if I sell you an object, and built into the sale is, they call it in English an escape clause. It means you can be revoked from the sale. You have an option of potentially nullifying the sale. So that could potentially be a problem, because if you have if I sell you land, so very often you have that. Today's the Gemara, you have this man. Also, I sell you a house. And we write into the contract that I'm selling you the house, but I have an option for the next 3 years or so to go back in the sale. What would that mean? If you go back in the sale, then the money, obviously, whatever money I paid to you for the house would come back to me. So how would we view now that money? So I give you money as demei hamekach. Once the sale is negated, so it turns out it was never a mekach. It was batel mafreya. So if the sale was batel mafreya, it turns out that I gave you the money not really as demei hamekach. I really gave it to you b'toras halva. If it wasn't a mekach, if the whole mechir was batel lemafreya, then it turns out that I just lent you $1,000. I lent you $100,000. Okay, so I lent you $100,000. Even that $100,000. No, it's a problem. I got to live in the house for the last 6 months. I got free use of the house. I don't have to pay rent now. So it turns out that whenever you have a mechira mizbateles, the Gemara says you have to be careful that if the quote unquote kona / malva got usage of that object, so that looks like ribbis as well. That's the problem. Not only does that look like ribbis, that may even be a shal of ribbis deraisa, because ribbis is only ribbis derabbanan with derech mechamemka. Here it's not derech mechamemka. It's not a mechamemka. That's the whole point. It's not a mechira. It turns out that it gloy muslim affair that it was a halva, but it was a halva. Then I got something extra. I didn't get extra. Oh, so if the deal is that if the sale gets canceled, I have to pay you rent, whatever the fair market value was, then for sure it's mutter. But if that's not written into the contract, that's going to be a potential problem. So there's a sugi maseches Erichin that talks about this. The Gemara has a famous statement in Erichin. The Gemara speaks about that's what goes on with Bati Arichoma. What is about the Erech Chama? It's an escape clause. It means you have a whole year. Yom Tia Gulaso. So I lend you, I sell you a house, and within that year, I could cancel, I could revoke the sale. But what happens if I come to you in 6 months and I say, I want to cancel the sale, so I have to give you back the money that you gave me, and it turns out you end up with your original money back, you didn't lose a penny of cash, and you got 6 months free usage of the house. You don't have to pay rent for those 6 months. So the Torah says that that's okay. The Gemara says, Erichin says, that ribis yivat Torah tirasai. That it's ribis. It's mamish. That arrangement is mamish ribis. And the Torah says this is an exception to the rules. It's not like this. Rishonim, how serious did the Gemara mean with that statement? So one day in the Rishonim says, the Gemara meant the real McCoy. It's mamish ribis. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, mamish ribis deraisa. It's ribis yivat Torah tirasai. And it's the real, real super duper ribis. And the Torah says, it's mutter by Bati Arichonah. Not if I sell your house in Bergenfield, that's not part of the Yerichoma. In the case that one surah parts, the Torah gives a break and says it's a freebie and hopeless ribbis. But Lu Yitzu, you would pull off such a similar stuff as Manazeh in a regular real estate deal, that would be a real problem, ribbis deraisa. I should say that's not really ribbis deraisa, it's only ribbis derabon. I think it doesn't mean it's real ribbis. It looks like ribbis, it means ribbis derabon, it looks like ribbis, whatever it is. So it's not the real ribbis deraisa. Again, it's a shayla and the Rishonim. But whether it's deraisa, derabon, lemaisa, it's also. So you're not allowed to have that kind of a setup in terms of a business deal. So the post came out of discussions about certain heterim in this area. Are there any ways to circumvent this halacha? The basic thrust of the heter in this whole sugya is, we have to take it out of the realm of being mevatel the kinyan lemafreya. We have to make it, in a sense, like a new kinyan mikan lahava. The whole reason why it's a problem is because the mechira is batel retroactively, thereby, in a sense, transforming the cash into a halva rather than a demeh mecca. So we can keep that original sale intact and just make a new sale, mikan lahava, so then it'll be okay. That was many achavrit and had such a kula. Dud and others had a kula that if you, when you're writing the contract, you don't write in that I have a right to cancel the sale, to revoke the sale retroactively, but rather you write it, you stipulate in the contract that I have the option of rebuying, that I can in a sense force you to resell me back the land, as long as you use a lashon that to resell rather than to revoke retroactively the previous sale. And then it was never halval, it was mechira. I sold it, sold it back to me. That would be okay. The Chavis Das has even more of a chiddush. He says that even if you don't say literally a new sale, as long as you use the lashon of almanas, you use the lashon of a tenai, that also gives the indication that the mechira is really buying the thing. Matan mas lahachzir, like the famous Rosh Maseches Sukkah. The Rosh says that a matan mas lahachzir is really a kinyan li'olam vo'ed. It's just as a tenai that you have to sell it back to me. It's not that the kinyan was, there was nothing chos in the original kinyan. It's the famous Rosh in Sukkah, where he says it happened to be Yotzei Dalad Binyan with a Matan Mas Lahachzir. It's not yours, the Yoilam. You need a kin in the Yoilam. So the Rosh says, it is a kin in the Yoilam. It's a kin in the Yoilam. And now there's a new kin in the Yoilam that's going backwards. So it's not a revoking of the original kin. It's a new kinyan. The post can say you have to be careful of your word in such a way that's clear that it's not a revoking of the original sale. So then there would be grounds. Other Acharenim would say that you should write into the contract that you don't have a right to cancel the sale at moment's notice. The sale has to be valid for at least 6 months. After 6 months, then you have a chance to cancel it. So if you have that stipulation in there, that gives it more of an indication. It's not a revoke in the sale legamre. It would be revoking the sale legamre. It could happen immediately. So again, it's more of a new sale that's going to be done rather than a revoke of the old sale. Okay, these are all different aids to get around this problem. If anyone ever gets involved in these kinds of transactions, so you have to be careful. Whenever you have a mechira, mispatelas, you have to be careful not to run into any potential problems. Okay. Again, we streamlined a lot of ribbis derabon, a lot of mechcha memkras. You could spend 6 months just learning the siman shulchan aruch about ribbis derabon memkra. I try to highlight as best as possible some of the more common shalas that do come up. Next week we'll continue with a few more sugyas of ribbis. But the next topic is ribbis with goyim. Is that ribbis with goyim is the next one, and then we have ribbis Zoros Ribbis, and then we have to spend a little bit of time at the Riska. I didn't give any Mamakomas on at the Riska, but we'll, because there's no Mamakomas to go about that. So we'll talk a little bit about at the Riska next week. Okay? Stop here. I think the Monday is 11 o'clock. If guys are interested, are guys going to be around the following week?